I'm Joe Clement for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm joined again by IWW organizer Mary Ann Labatt, coming all the way out from New York over the phone. Thank you, Mary Ann.
Thanks for having me again.
So I wanted to talk a bit about an organizing campaign project that you've been involved with at Ellen's Stardust Diner in Times Square, New York.
It's been there for about 40 years. Family business, and it's in all the guidebooks, and it's a famous tourist attraction. It's the place where the waiters sing while they're serving. So they sing Broadway show tunes, they sing Disney classics, they sing pop songs, they sing whatever they want, and it's like this wonderful sort of camp show that goes on in the restaurant. It's like getting dinner and a show at the same time. And the people who work there usually work there for a number of years, and they come back to the restaurant in between working on Broadway shows or going on tours or working on cruise lines or whatever. So they are performers, but many performers work service, especially restaurant jobs, to make ends meet in between performances, and these guys do that, but it's a way of them being able to continue performing in between performances as well.
That's a great work-life balance, too. I understand that that all changed a couple few years ago with a change in management at the diner. Could you speak to that?
I mean, yes. So first of all, I want to apologize because normally when these opportunities come our way to talk about the campaign, I let a worker field them, but due to miscommunication and whatnot, I wasn't able to do that today. But as a worker was just relaying at an event earlier this week, they were always having problems with management. I mean, the restaurant industry in New York is pretty brutal. People get treated pretty poorly. There's everything from wage theft to harassment to unsafe working conditions. And they had faced all of those conditions in the diner for years. But in January of 2016, the owners of the restaurant handed management of the restaurant over to a new group, which came in and really started kind of bullying the staff. And one of the things they were doing was firing people at the rate of one or two a week, long-standing employees. And they had a captive health insurance program, so the employer was selling the employees health insurance, and there seemed to be a lot of firing of people who had the audacity to use the health insurance, like by having children. So discriminatory, bullying behavior, and the staff looked around at each other and said, this is unacceptable. And a couple people, one person in particular, spearheaded the campaign and began reaching out to unions to help them stand up to the boss and to stand up for their rights.
And why do you think they went with the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW, and have stuck with them?
So they actually reached out to other unions first. One of them they reached out to was Actors Equity Association, which represents Broadway performers. And, they were familiar with it, so they reached out to them. And Actors Equity, to my understanding, turned them down in part because they're not actually employed as performers. They're employed as servers. And just like any other server, they make less than minimum wage because the minimum wage is deducted against by, I think, tips, right? And so they are paid just like any other server. So Actors Equity, from my understanding, didn't want to take them on for that reason because they weren't technically employed as performers. And I believe they reached out to other, like, service industry unions, but were turned down by them as well for whatever reason, maybe because they're considered a small shop or, unions usually decide for themselves what organizing projects to take on rather than just accepting whatever comes their way. And so then they called the IWW and we took them on. And it ended up being this really wonderful relationship and partnership where we were looking for organizing opportunities and, they needed somebody to help them out. And so we started helping them with their campaign.
And what did that look like, helping them out?
So in the beginning, it involved running, we have an organizer training program. It is a 2-day skills building workshop where we take people from having no previous organizing experience whatsoever to learning how to have conversations with their coworkers in the workplace that will build what we call a committee. So in other words, a group of workers who are paying attention to workplace conditions and willing to act on them in solidarity with one another to get their needs met. And so we would run this training with them every, let's say, month or two. And after that, we also had a committee of three people from the New York branch of the IWW, you know, talking to them and consulting with them and mentoring them in general. And so we provided guidance and we provided skills and tools, but from the beginning, it's really been their campaign, and they make the decisions, and they are the committee. We give them advice, but it's absolutely run by the workers themselves.
And what did that look like in terms of the boss's response to union activity?
So what's funny is that the very first action they took on had to do with something called the tip bucket. So there's a bucket that gets circulated among patrons in the restaurant every, let's say, hour or so. And it's the only way that they get paid for singing. And so there's a master of ceremonies, and the master of ceremonies would circulate this bucket among patrons and explain that, you know, this helps support their classes and they're supporting themselves as artists. And management, for who knows what reason, decided to take it away. And so the staff did what we call a march on the boss, where it was this beautiful moment. They sang My Shot from Hamilton to get to, like, be the signal to each other and raise their ketchups in the air in this display of power. And then five or six servers just walked up to a manager and demanded that they be given their bucket back. And, you know, it makes a big difference in terms of their income, too. That thing collects, you know, a couple hundred dollars a shift. And management conceded, and within 24 hours, they had their bucket back. In fact, within 5 hours, management made a commitment to give it back to them. And that happened while they were still underground. So they were obviously building that committee. They were having those conversations with each other. But they hadn't yet told the employer that they were a union, and they hadn't yet come out publicly as a union. And they won on that. And that didn't come with immediate retaliation. I think that a lot of times when workers take action at work, even collective action, it scares the boss, but the boss does not necessarily, like, cotton on to the fact that this is union activity, even though it falls entirely within the National Labor Relations Act's definition of union activity, two or more workers coming together and taking action to improve conditions in the workplace. But later, the workers did go public in the form of a very big story in the New York Times. And that reporter contacted the owner for comment about the fact that he had a union in his workplace, and he had no idea. After that, there were tremendous retaliations. The employer hired a union-busting law firm, and there would be what we call captive audience meetings, so mandatory staff meetings where you get told all the reasons that unions are terrible. And there would be harassment. People would receive, like, anonymous threatening text messages. And worst of all, there were 16 people fired in the space of about 4 days in September, just a few weeks after they went public.
Wow. And those firings are what most people will find the most about if they just search Stardust Diner Google News. But what you're saying is that there was a lot more activity, a lot more retaliatory activity, but then also a lot more wins than just this settlement over the illegal firings when they threatened to bring it before the National Labor Relations Board.
Yeah, so after that initial batch of firings in September, there was then, unfortunately, another batch of firings in January, and again, it was about 15 people. And so the employer was really trying to fire away the committee, trying to fire away the union, which is a very, very common way that employers react. As I said, there had been firings at the rate of about one or two a week prior to this, but these firings were obviously concentrated on getting rid of this union problem. And the thing to be aware of is that technically that is against the law. The Labor Relations Act says you cannot be retaliated against, whether it's firing or just messing with your schedule or whatever, if you are engaging in concerted protected activity, union activity, to defend your rights at work. But the reality is that employers look at that and they make a calculation and decide that it's worth it, as they did in the Stardust case. And so we, of course, took that to the National Labor Relations Board with the help of our very talented labor lawyer, Ben Dichter, who was working for us pro bono, thank goodness. And ultimately, after a process that took about a year, all of those terminations were reversed. And when the boss fired those people, he made up accusations of theft as the reason why he fired people, as opposed to for organizing. We got him to retract those claims and expunge everyone's record and invite everybody who had been fired to come back to work. Plus, he had to give them all back pay for the time that they were not employed at the diner. So we had a huge legal victory, which we won through legal means, but also by continuing to place a tremendous amount of pressure on the employer, both inside and outside the restaurant. And by that I mean there were actions continuously being taken inside the restaurant to fight for workers' rights, showing the employer that no matter how many firings you engage in, we will continue to act as a union and have each other's backs and take action to improve conditions at work. And then the outside actions were like pickets, protests, pickets that prevented delivery of supplies to the restaurant, flyering, leafleting, encouraging customers to go to a non-union busing restaurant, that kind of protest activity. So our legal case ended in a settlement as opposed to before actually going to a formal NLRB trial. The National Labor Relations Board supervised that settlement, but it ended in a negotiated settlement, which kind of tells you that the employer at some point decided to cut his losses and realized that he wasn't going to win. And that had a lot to do with the pressure that we kept up through direct action. But yes, to answer your question, there's always been a lot of direct action activity going on inside the restaurant to improve conditions, which is a somewhat separate story from the legal case that people will probably most likely find in headlines.
I remember reading something that you posted on Facebook about how the workers won a lactation room for new mothers. Could you speak about what that issue was and how they won it?
So that's a great example of what the difference is between having an active union in the workplace and not, and between taking direct action versus relying on legal processes. So it's law in New York State that employers have to provide what's called a lactation room where new moms can express breast milk, and it can't be a restroom in any workplace, plus give them the time to pump. The employer at Ellen Stardust Diner, the boss, not only hadn't provided that, but he'd actually been sued in the past successfully for not providing that and continued to not provide that. So again, we tend to think that the law will protect us, like it's not illegal to organize at work, you can't be fired for it, wage theft is illegal, unsafe working conditions are illegal, not having a lactation room is illegal, and yet employers voluntarily skirt those laws all the time, and the only people we really have to enforce them is us ourselves. So that was the case in the past with Stardust Diners. They would not provide that lactation room. Now that there's a very active union, we had a worker who gave birth a couple of months ago. She had a lovely baby girl, and when she returned to work, she was immediately brought by the manager to her lovely lactation room, which is entirely hers. You know, it doesn't double as an office. It's got some nice, comfortable chairs in there. And he was, like, anxious to show it off to her because now they're so afraid of the union that they do whatever they can to keep workers happy. So, again, you know, it's the difference between having a union and not. It's the difference between what the law will do versus what direct action will do. And there are many other examples besides that.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this on-air portion of my conversation with Marianne Labatt, IWW organizer with Stardust Family United. If you tune in to kboo.fm/Old Mole Variety Hour, you can hear Marianne talk a bit more about how they use direct action to get what they need at the Stardust Diner in New York. Thanks again, Marianne, for coming to talk to us on the Old Mole.
Thanks for having me again.
I'd like to lead out with a song written by a Stardust Family United member, Max Deemers, covered here by Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine. It's called The Tower.
There was a shining tower sitting high upon a hill, and the people in its shadow gave their all to serve its will. The tower, it was beautiful, the people, they were good. Said the people to the tower, we will praise you as we should. People rose up, singing, thank you God for this unearthly thing. Yeah, they rose up, to the heavens of your majesty we'll sing. They sang, "We are the people, we sing as one. We sing for all the beauty here and all the good that can be done. Yes, we are the people and we stand strong. We stand for who we are and what we may become. We are a family, our love won't be undone. The voices of the tower pushed the tower to the sky, but the tower was ungrateful, all the backs on which it thrived. The people, they grew tired, the tower, it grew tall, so tall among the clouds it could not see the ground at all. People rose up, singing, tower, don't forget that we are here. Yeah, they rose up, but the tower was so tall it could not hear. They sang, we are the people, we sing as one. We sing for all the beauty here and all the good that can be done. Yes, we are the people and we stand strong. Stand for who we are and what we may become. We are a family, our love won't be undone. As the years went by, the people wanted to be heard, but the tower did not care to hear a word. So the people, they continued with their song, but the words had changed, for they knew that they'd been wrong. They sang, you once were a beacon to us all, but you're broken now, your time has come to fall. Then they rose up, holding on to one another without fear. Yeah, they rose up. And the tower heard the people's word was clear. They sang, we are the people, we sing as one. We sing for all the beauty here and all the good that can be done. Yes, we are the people and we stand strong. Stand for who we are and what we may become. We are a family, our love won't be undone. As the tower came tumbling down, it begged to stay alive. Said the people to the tower, we want everyone to thrive. If you'll just treat us right and give our songs a welcome ear, then we'll sing you to the heavens once more. Sing it loud and clear. Yeah, we, so what, the people rose up, holding on to one another without fear. Yeah, they rose up, and the tower heard the people's word was clear. They sang, we are the people, we sing as one. We sing for all the beauty here and all the good that can be done. Yes, we are the people, and we stand strong. We stand for who we are and who we may become. We are a family, our love won't be undone. They sang, we are the people, we sing as one. We sing for all the beauty here and all the good that can be done. Yes, we are the people and we stand strong. We stand for who we are and who we may become. We are a family, our love won't be undone. Solidarity. Give them hell.
You're listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour. We now return to a couple more minutes of my conversation with Mary Ann, where she tells us a bit more about what went wrong at the Stardust Diner and how workers fixed it.
There was a there's a long stage in the restaurant that runs down the length of two benches called a banquette. And it was rickety and unstable, and a worker had fallen off and broken his ankle, and he tried to file for workers' compensation. And he was told that he was denied. His claim was denied by the restaurant. And so, you know, he was out of work and out of luck. Workers then decided collectively to stop standing on that banquette because it was dangerous and unstable. And sure enough, then the restaurant finally replaced it, you know, after promising to do so for months and months and months. And then that stands in contrast to a story where there is a mixer in the restaurant that doesn't have a guard on it as it's supposed to have, like a shield to prevent people from their clothing or hair or limbs from being caught in it. And there was actually a case in New York of a worker dying from one of these machines by being caught in it. So the workers at Stardust, that death did not happen at Stardust, but Stardust also had a mixer that was unguarded. So the workers at Stardust called OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and reported that and other safety violations. And OSHA opened a file, took note of these things, gave them a case number, and then nothing happened. And workers would call and follow up every couple of weeks or months and say, like, here's my case number, you know, what's going on? And finally, after a year, which I think is maybe just like the time after which a case expires, like an inquiry expires, after a year, OSHA very politely told them that their case had been closed without prejudice, and they were free to reopen it if they still wanted to pursue the matter. So in a year, nobody had ever shown up to the restaurant, you know, and certainly the employer had never faced any ill consequences. But, you know, again, on safety issues, the direct action route has been effective, remarkably effective, and, like, remarkably quickly.